All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf, last daf of Sota, daf Mentes. We are picking up the last line of Mentes days. So it says the Gemara, not the last line, four lines up in the bottom. Upasko Anshei Amana. So the Mishnah describes that in the times of destruction of Beis HaMikdash, so Pasko Anshei Amana, literally, trustworthy individuals cease to exist. Men of trustworthy status. Amab Yitzchak. This refers to people who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now it's interesting, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Sheme'aminim b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, levater mamonim l'noi hidden mitzvah, ulitztaka ulotzas shabasem yomim tovim. So this is actually amazing. So the Anshei Amana refers to people who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and therefore spend their money on the beautification of mitzvos. In other words, that sometimes a person could say, I never know what I'm going to have tomorrow, so therefore I'm going to be very careful with what I spend or what I commit. And therefore a person may scale back on certain mitzvah expenditures. So the Anshei Amana, the men of good faith, again, they weren't reckless in their spending, but if they had now, they were confident in being able to spend that wealth on mitzvah. It's an incredible idea. Tisanya Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Omer, because Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol said, anyone who has bread in his basket, and he asks, what will I eat tomorrow? Eino ela miktani emuna. Such a person is of little faith. In other words, that we'll say it's one thing if a person doesn't have, and so they wonder what's going to happen in the future. But too often, what ends up happening is we do have, but yet I'm not sure, am I going to maintain this same level in the future? Am I going to have in the future, not have in the future? And therefore we scale back on certain mitzvah expenditures, even though I could afford it now, because I'm concerned about what's going to happen in the future. So the Anshei Amana felt that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me the resources now, then it's incumbent upon me to go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah in the most muhudir way. Literally, who is buzz? Buzz means like arrogant or haughty. Who is arrogant or haughty for the day of littleness? She is buzz. Who is it that causes the tzaddikim to have their tables lessened in the future? In other words, what is it that ultimately causes the tzaddikim to have less of a share in olam haba? So the Gemara says, "Katnos shahaya bohen shelohe aminu b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu." The smallness of mind that they had in this world, that they did not fully believe in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. An incredible idea. Rava Amar Rava says, "Elu kitoi b'nei rishoy Yisrael." Rava says, "No, the Pasko Anshei Amana refers to the children of evil people." And Rashi points out, "Kitoi rishoy b'nei Yisrael shemesu kishen ketanim." The children of Rishoyim who died when they were children. We do have a concept that as much as children are not held responsible for their actions, but children are absolutely held, or I should say, the sins of the fathers are sometimes visited upon their minor children. And therefore, again, the Gemara says, Shemavaz tap of Memtes, Shemavaz vizin dina viyam la'asid lavo, because they are held responsible for Mavazin Achirashi says, Korin dina viyam. Literally, they cause the din of their father to be ripped up. In other words, their death atones for the sins of their father. So they ask, the Asid Lavo, these children ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they see that after 120, their fathers are still being punished in the Olam HaEmes, they say, Ribono Shel Olam, it's not fair. How is it that you're going in and punishing them in the Olam HaEmes, but at the same time you blunted their teeth in Olam HaZeh, which is a reference to the fact if you took us away from our parents in Olam HaZeh, thereby punishing them in Olam HaZeh, should that not suffice to be their punishment in totality, yet you punish them again in the Olam HaEmes? Am Rabbi Lai Bayivarchio, Al Il Moli Tfilaso Shel David, Hayu Kol Yisrael Mochrei Rivav. It says Rav Ilya Bar Yivarchio, were it not for the tefillah of David HaMelech, Klal Yisrael would go ahead and literally be sellers. Revav means fats and grease. So Rashi points out over here, Mokre Revav hu davar mos, kigon chele b'shumen b'nidbak b'begadim, v'nim asin de'im l'cha adam mis'asik bohem ela ani. No one wants this job. No one actually wants to be a Revav salesman, because again, it's the lowest possible job you could have. So were it not for the tefillah of David HaMelech to preserve the honor of Klal Yisrael, even in Golos, We would be mochrei rebav. Shine emar shisa Hashem mora lohem. Please, Ribono Shel Olam, Rashi says over shisa Hashem mora lohem le'al minei ksiv kilo le'netzach yishachach evyon tikvas anovim tovad la'ad shisa Hashem mora lohem tein lohem morus. So the Gemara is dashing this, that give them literally a skill set. Give them the ability to do something that at least if we're going to be in the diaspora, that they'll be respected ultimately by those around us because of our skill sets. Were not for the tefillah of Chabakuk, how you based Hamidi Chachamim miskasim v'talas echad va'oskim v'torah, then Torah would only be acquired through incredible physical privation. In other words, two Tamidi Chachamim would have to share one blanket and engage in Torah like that. Shene Emar, Hashem Shamati Shimacha. Here the Gemara is quoting from the Pasuk from Chabakuk. Hashem Shamati Shimacha, Yoresi Hashem Ha'acha, Bekerev Shnayim Chayehu, Bekerev Shnayim Todia Berogez Rachim Tiskar. So the Gemara says, Atikra Bekerev Shnayim, don't read it in the midst of two, rather, Ella Bekiruv Shnayim. Read it again through the closeness of the two. That were it not for the tefillah of Chabakuk, then again, so Torah learning would only be acquired through incredible suffering and privation. And suddenly, Rabbi ben Yivarchiya said, if two Talmidei Chachamim are walking on the road and they're not talking words of Torah, then ru'uyin lisarif ba'ish. They are fit to be burned by fire. Shine emar vahihema holkim haloch vidaber. So it is actually referring to the episode of the day that Eliyahu HaNavi left this world, and the Navi describes that he was walking with his primary disciple Elisha, and so the Navi says that they were walking on the road, vidaber, and talking, and the Rechav Ish, the fiery chariot, came right between them and scooped up Eliyahu. Taima de Ikadibor, the reason why Elisha was spared, being burned by the fiery chariot, was because they were talking words of Torah. Haleka dibor, but if they are not talking words of Torah, then ru'uyin lisari. Then ultimately, again, Elisha would have been burned. If two Talmidei Chachamim live in the same city, ve'ein nochin ze laze b'halacha, and both say they're not agreeable to each other in halacha. Now, what does that mean? They're not agreeable to each other in halacha. So we'll say, so this doesn't mean, this does not mean that they have to go ahead and agree. What it means is that there's a mutual respect for the differences of opinions. That they both go ahead and agree that although I might not agree with the opinion of the other, nevertheless, it's a legitimate opinion. So what's the halacha? So what happens if you have two Talmidei Chachamim who are not agreeable and are not kind to each other in matters of halacha? The Bosh said, I understand, when this happens, this creates a terrible chilul Hashem. In general, when Jewish leaders don't behave as they're supposed to, it creates a terrible chilul Hashem, because rightfully so, we have higher expectations of our leaders and expect them to be role models, not just in their Torah knowledge, but ultimately, again, in their observance and their behavior. So what happens to these two Talmidei Chachamim, who are not agreeable to each other, not nice to each other, respectful to each other? Echad meis ve'echad gola. One of them ultimately dies, and one of them is sent to Galus. Rashi says, Echad meis ayidei chavero shahargu b'shogeg v'zeh gola la'ari miklat. So Rashi's version over here is that one ends up accidentally killing the other. So therefore, one dies, and the other is sent to Galus as a result of accidentally killing his friend. Shene emar lanus shama rotzeach asher yirtzach esrei ehu bivli das. Because the Gemara Darshan is the Pasuk, talking about the Ir Miklat, that the Rotzeach, the murderer, will flee there, and the, who flees to the Ir Miklat? Someone who goes out and kills his friend, bivli das, without knowledge. The ein das el Torah, and das ultimately refers to Torah, shenei emar, nidmu amin mibli adas. Am Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Chiya, kol tam tchacham ha'oseik b'torah mitoch hadchak, any tam tchacham who learns Torah, b'osai, even though times are difficult. So mitoch hadchak means that even though, generally this refers to material privation, so any tam tchacham who learns Torah, despite the fact that materially he has very little, tfilas nishmas, his tfilos have a special type of power, and they're heard by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shene emar, because the Pasuk says, ki am b'tzion yeshev b'Yerushalayim, b'cho lo sivke, chanun yechancha l'kol zakecha, ki shamaso ancha. As the Pasuk says, ultimately, the nation that sits in Sion, who lives in Yerushalayim. Don't cry, don't cry. The Ribbono Shel Olam will give you chin, will give you charm. And ultimately, he heard the voice of your cry. Uksib basrei, and it says after that, V'nasan Hashem lechem tzar umayim lachas. And it says right after that, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you very meager material possessions. So the idea over here, the Rabbos say, you know, obviously, it's easy to go ahead and maintain a relationship and a fidelity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when God is giving me an abundance of bracha. When life is not going my way, specifically if I'm financially challenged, to be able to go ahead and maintain a fidelity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara suggests it's an exceptionally high level. So a person who's able to do that, his tefillos have a special power. Rabbi Avo Omer, Masbien Oso Miziv Shechina. Such an individual literally is sustained or is nourished from the very radiance of the Shechina. Shene Emar, V'hayu Einecha Ro'os Es Morecha. Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina Omer, Af In HaPargud Nina Befanav. Such a person ultimately who goes ahead and continues to learn Torah despite financial difficulty, even the Pargud, they both say, the Pargud refers, Rashi says, is the Mechitza. It refers to the partition that ultimately that separates HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the rest of the celestial sphere. So God himself occupies a different and distinct space in Shamayim. That's called the Pargot. Someone who goes out and learns Torah despite personal privation is able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even through the Pargot. Shene Amar, V'lo Yichanev Od Morecha. Because over here, the Gemara quotes from the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Lo Yichanef, Rashi says, Lo Yiskasa Mimcha Dichnaf Bigdo Mechitza. So literally, your teacher, your master, will not hide himself in the corner of your garment. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mishnah Yoshua, Miyom Shecharav Beis HaMikdash Ein. So we'll say, remember again, it's in the Mishnah quoted Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Yoshua, who said that from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there is no day without Klala. There is no day without curse. And the thought of the Mishnah is that every day gets increasingly worse. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Bechol Yom V'Yom Merube Kilos Mishal Chaveiro. Rava says each and every day is even worse than the one before it in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. Ne'emar, Baboker Tomar Miyitin Erev, Ube'erev Tomar Miyitin Boker. So we'll say the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from the Tochecha. Then in the Tochecha, on the series of curses, the Pasuk says, in the morning you will say, oh, I long to see the evening. And the evening you will say, I long to see the morning. Hey, Boker, which morning is that referring to? Ilim a Boker de la Machar, if you want to say it's the morning of the next day, why would a person be yearning for that? Miyada my Havi, how do you know what's waiting for you the next morning? Ela de Chalif. Rather, it must mean what? It must mean that when a person gets to the evening, a person yearns for the previous morning. Because as bad as things were in the morning, they at least were better than they were right now. Ve'ela alma amay mekayim. So Asa asks the Gemara profound question. So if that's the case, that everything gets worse since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so how is the world sustained? Meaning at some point in time, doesn't the situation in this world simply become so unbearable that lemaisa, again, the world can't exist? To which the Gemara says, how does the world exist? Akidusha desidra v'amein yeheishmei rabba da'agarata. Rabbo says, an amazing Gemara. So you know how the world exists? Akidusha desidra. Rabbo says, the Kidusha desidra refers to the Kidusha kadosh, kadosh, kadosh by Uvalet Zion and by Baruch Hu. Amazingly enough. So in the merit of Klal Yisrael sanctifying, and this ties back to what we said before, in the merit of Klal Yisrael sanctifying the Ribbono Shel Olam's name, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, that's how the world remains intact. And similarly, when we answer Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah, after learning Agarata, what is that referring to? That's referring to the fact that after we learn, we say, you know, the Rabbi Hanan Yevin Akash Omer, and we say a Kaddish Derabanan. Answering Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah to that Kaddish Derabanan is one of the sources for the continuity of the world. So what is the Gemara essentially answering? That means Talmud Torah. You know how the world continues to exist? Because we maintain our fidelity and allegiance to God despite our difficult circumstances, and because we continue to learn Torah. So the Gemara goes right there. So the Shnei Emar, Eretz Afsa Kimo Ofel Tzamaves Velo Sidarim. Literally, the land is enveloped like the darkness of Gehenna of Tzamaves. Velo Sidarim, and there is no order. Hayesh Sidarim, but if there is order, order in this case referring to Kedusha de Sidra, so Kadosh, 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 and Amen Yehesh Me Rabba, then Tofia Me Ofel, then ultimately again we emerge from the darkness. Velo Yorad Tal Libracha, Benital Tamperos. Remember again, the Mishnah said that since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the dew no longer falls in a brachadik way, and the flavor has been taken from the fruit. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Tara batla tam bereach. So what happens in the absence of Tara, the absence meaning the lack of Tara since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, has taken away the taste and the scent of fruits. Meiser, the absence of Meiser, Bitel Shuman Dagon, has taken away the fatness of the grain. Rav Huna Ashkach, well, says that in the amazing Gemara. Rav Huna Ashkach Tomarta Tichinu Nisa. Rav Huna found a date. Tichinu Nisa, well, it means a very special, beautiful date. From Lashon Chin. In other words, what it sounds like over here is he found the date that was as delicious and as succulent as a date prior to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So what did he do? Shakla karcha besudre. He wrapped it up in his cloak. Asa Rabba Berei, and Rabba his son came along. So Adole murchina recha dechidi nisa. So remember, Rav Huna finds the date. He wraps it up in his cloak. Rabba his son comes and says, "Father, I smell something fragrant." Amarle bini tara yishbecha. My son, if you could smell that fragrant scent, it means that what? That you possess the attribute of Tara. Because remember, again, in the absence of Tara, you cannot smell the beauty of the fruit. So, Yava Nihile. So what happens? So Rav Huna went ahead and gave the date to his son, Rabba. Adhachi Asa Abba Berei. While all of this was happening, so Abba, the son of Rabba, the grandson of Rav Huna, came along. Shakla Yahavi Nihile. And Rabba went ahead and gave the date to his son. So remember, Rav Huna had given it to Rabba. Rabba went ahead and now gave it to Rav Huna. Amar Lei, so Rav Huna said, "Bini, samachta es libi, v'kise es shinai. My son, you have made my heart happy. I'm happy that you went ahead. I'm happy that you possess such Tara, that you could pick up the scent in the fruit, but you've blunted my teeth. In other words, you've offended me. I gave you this gift. I gave you this gift of this date, and here you went and you gave it to your son, right in my..." That's not why I meant it. I meant it for you to have it. But says amazing Gemara, "Hainu de amri inshi." But say, this is what people mean when they say, "Rachami de abba abni." There is no description of the love that a father has for his son. Father has boundless love for his son. But rachami dibni abni. So interestingly enough, but a son never reciprocates a father's love. A son never loves a father as much as a father loves his son. Why? Because the primary love of a son is transferred to who? It's transferred to his son. An incredibly moving Gemara. So Gemara tells a story. So the Gemara says, "Divinei Hadavolei." So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov itpol bei Rav Yaakov Bar Barte. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov raised his grandson, Rav Yaakov, who was the son of his daughter. So he raised his grandson, the son of his daughter. Ki gadol, when this boy, Rav Yaakov, grew up, Amar le ashki in mayo. So Rav Acha, the grandfather, asked his grandson, "Can you please bring me some water?" Amar lo, lav berich ana. I'm not your son. In other words, that he's saying, I'm not chayiv in kibud av towards you. So v'hayni de'ami inshi, this is what people mean when they say, "Rabbi, Rabbi," children say to their parents, raise me, bar, bar tachana." But at the end of the day, I'm not your son, I'm only your grandson. We'll say it's an incredible, incredible yusod. It's two things that the Gemara is saying. First of all, we'll say an incredible yusod, that parenting has to be a selfless act. Right? If people think that they're going to get something back in return from their kids, okay, hopefully you get some nachos. So, but the truth is, your kids will never love you as much as you love them. Zohi darko shel chayim. When they're young, it's because more often than not, children are self-absorbed. People are self-absorbed. As they grow up and they have families of their own, the bulk of their love will be shifted towards their own family and not towards the parents. An incredible yisod, says the Mishnah. Bepromos shel aspanyos. So we'll say now the Mishnah is going to talk about the various decrees that happened in the different military campaigns and sieges around Yerushalayim. So says the Gemara, Bepomo shel Aspanyos, when Vespasian was laying siege to Yerushalayim, Gazru al Ataros Chasanim. Remember, this is Second Temple era. So they went ahead and they decreed that no grooms should wear wreaths when getting married. Va'ala irus. Furthermore, they outlawed irus, which we'll discuss what that is. They pomos shal Titus, when ultimately there was the siege of Titus. Suppose that Titus was the son. Titus was the son of Vespasian. Remember, we'll actually see in Gittin. We'll see in Gittin the whole story of Vespasian. Vespasian becomes Caesar as he's laying siege to Yerushalayim. He goes back to Rome, and ultimately his son Titus takes over. So when the siege of Titus, Gazru alataros kalos, they decreed about the wreaths, literally the crowns for a bride, v'shal yilmat adam espino yivanis, and that a father should not teach his son Greek. Bepulmos ha'acharon, in the final siege, Gazru shleitetzi akala ba'apirion, they decreed that a kala should not go ahead and go out. Apirion literally is a canopy. Besochair in the city. But subsequent rabbis, in fact, allowed for the kala to go ahead and go out even with a canopy. Gemara says, "Mishemes Rabbi Meir, batlu moshe mashalim." When Rabbi Meir died, those who knew how to really tell parables ended. In other words, apparently Rabbi Meir was an expert parable creator. So when he died, the last of the parabolers, if that's a word, died with him. Parabolists, thank you. Mishemes ben Azai, when ben Azai died, batlu hashakdonim. Rashi says over here, shakdonim, shoptin al daltos beis hamedrish, laila v'yom. The shakdonim also refer to the individuals who are constantly in the beis medrash. So when ben Azai died, he was the last of the shakdonim. Mishemes ben Zoma, when ben Zoma passed away, batlu hadarshanim, those who knew how to darshan, the different psukim, they died as well. Rashi points out, Shahaya Baki Betame Hamikros. He knew exactly how to darshan each and every pasuk. Mishemes Rabbi Akiva, when Rabbi Akiva died, Batul Kavarat Torah. We'll say when Rabbi Akiva died, the Kavarat of Torah went with him. Rashi says, Shahaya Nosin Libo Lidrosh Kol Kotz V'Kotz Shal Kol Os. Remember, Rabbi Akiva was famous for darshaning every crown of every single letter. So when he died, that Kavarat Torah went with him. Mishemes Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, Batlo An Shemaisa. When Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa died, the men of great deeds. He was the last of the men of great deeds. Mishemes Rabbi Yossi Katnasa Pasku Chasidim. When Rabbi Yossi Katnasa died, he was the last of the pious ones. V'lama nikrashmo Katnasa. Why was he called Katnasa? Shehaya Katnasa Shel Chasidim. Because Rabbi Yossi, he was the least of the pious ones. But yet when he died again, the era of the pious men came to an end. Mishemes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Batal Ziv HaChachma. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai died, the splendor of wisdom, the splendor of wisdom went with him as well. Mishemes Rabbi Gamliel Hazakim, batal kavarat Torah. Now, both remember, the Gemara used the same expression, Rabbi Akiva. Right? He said, Rabbi Akiva died, so kavarat Torah died with him. And Rashi interpreted that to mean, because Rabbi Akiva used to darshan each and every letter. Here, the Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel died, kavarat Torah was also batal. Look at Rashi. Mishemes Rabbi Gamliel Hazakim, batal kavarat Torah. The Meseches Megillah Amar Sha'ad Shemes Hu Haya Brius Ba'olam. For the Haya Lemaid in Torah, Ela Mu'umad. In the days of Rabbi Gamliel, people were stronger and they were able to learn standing up. When Rabbi Gamliel died, there was a choli, a sickness or a weakness that descended to the world, and people had to sit down while they were learning. So the Gemara goes weiter. Umesa tara uprishus. And Rabbi Yossi, tara, purity, and precious. Precious literally means abstinence, proper abstinence, ceased as well. Mishemes Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi, batla zivakuna. When Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi passed away, so the splendor of the kahuna ended with him. Mishemes Rabbi, batla anava v'yiraschit. And when Rabbi passed away, humility and fear of sin ceased to exist as well. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair Omer, Mishacharav Beis Hamikdash, the time the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Boshu Chavirim u'bnei Chorin, v'chafu Rosham. But if the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Chavirim and bnei Chorin, Chavirim and bnei Chorin refer to Talmidei Chachamim, right? Bnei Chorin literally means miyuchasin, people of distinct lineage. So these people became embarrassed. V'chafu Rosham, literally their heads, there was degradation heaped upon their heads. V'nedal delu anshe maisa, v'govru ba'alei zroa u ba'alei loshen. So we'll say the Gemara asked Rabbi Pinchas and Yerushalayim when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So there was a societal shift, and those who used to be respected because of their piety or because of their holiness now became the lower elements of society, and those who spoke Lashon Hara, and those who did all kinds of negative things, those are the ones who were elevated. Ve'in Doresh, ve'in Mavakish, ve'in Shoel. And there was no one to dash in Torah, and there was ultimately no one to advocate on behalf of Klal Yisrael. There was no one to daven on their behalf. And the Gemara says, Ami, Ami, Lanu Lihishoin, who did we have to depend on? Alavinu Shabashamai. So Rabbi Nicholas Ben Yair is describing the terrible spiritual state that was in effect in the time the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Belazar Agad will Omer, Miyom Shecharav Beis Hamikdash, Sharu Chachimayo Lamehavi Kisifria, Visifria Kechazina, Vichazina Keamad Da'ara. From the day that Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so the Talmidei Chachamim were relegated to the status of Sofrim. I will say Sofrim in this case means Rebbeim in the Cheder, teachers of children. And the teachers of children became like the shamus in the shul, and the shamus in the shul became like in the Amoretz. The Amadara Amadeis, the Amadara Ozla Bidildal. And what happens? And the Amoratzim descended even more. They became even more morally bankrupt and corrupt. Vein Shoel, Vein Mavakish. There was no one to ask for compassion. There was no one ultimately to daven or advocate on our behalf. Ami lanu v'hish, ami yesh v'hishoyim, who do we have to depend on? Alavinu shebashamayim, only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now this says the Gemara, ba'akvus Mashiach, in the days preceding Moshiach, Rashi says, ba'akvus ha-Mashiach, b'sof ha-golos lefnei bias Mashiach. In the Golos, in the end of the Golos, preceding, the era preceding the Mashiach, chutzpah yiske. Both say it's going to be an incredible era of chutzpah. And what happens? V'yoker yamir, prices will soar. Hagefen titein piria, the vine will give a lot of fruit, but yet still, hayayin biyoker, wine will be expensive. Why? Because people will be drinking a lot. In other words, there's going to be a lot of frivolous behavior. Umalchus tepach l'minos, and the dominant world power will become luminous, will become literally atheistic. In other words, what this is referring to over here is that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world is that throughout history there are always world powers. And those world powers are responsible for setting the tempo for the rest of the world. So whenever there's a world power, there's an expectation that world power sets the right, you know, we'll call it global paradigm. What it's saying over here is that Imos HaMashiach, the world power ultimately will not set the correct example for the rest of humanity. So they'll ultimately become atheistic in nature. In other words, they'll drive God out of society. It's a little bit scary when you think about these things. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ein tochachas," and ultimately, again, there will be no one to rebuke. In other words, we both say, why? So we spoke about this last week, moral equivalency, right? You can't rebuke anyone. Why? Because everyone is right. Everyone is right. So we'll say, so the telltale signs ultimately of Yemos HaMashiach is that ultimately it'll be a time of arrogance, chutzpah, which means no one is beyond reproach, no one is beyond attack. The dominant world power will ultimately strive to eradicate God. There'll be incredible frivolity and just lightheaded behavior. And ultimately moral equivalency. Everyone is right, no one is wrong, you can't judge anyone. Beis Vad Yihiyeh Liznus, the places that were formerly Batei Medrash will be places where there are gatherings for immorality. V'hagolil Yecharav, that Golil will be destroyed. V'hagavlon Yoshum, the Gavlon, Shabbos says, another city, ultimately will not have any inhabitants. V'anshe Hagvul Yisovavu Me'ir Li'ir V'lo Yechoninu, and the people who live on the borders will have to travel from one city to the next and will not find a place to settle. Vechachmas Sofrim Tisrach. And I will say, ultimately, the Torah knowledge of the Sofrim, of the great scholars, will not be respected. V'yirei chet yimasu. Those who are pious, I will say, will be, again, yimasu, will be looked at in a disgusting way by greater society. V'ha'emes tehei ne'ederes. Truth will be uprooted.
Na'arim pene zikinim yalbinu. The young will embarrass the old. Zikinim yamdu mipne kitanim. The old will respect the young out of a concern of us, and not because the young have earned it, but ultimately because the old are afraid of what the young will do if they don't go ahead and respect them. Ben menavel av, a son will disrespect his father. Bas kama b'ima, a daughter will rise up against her mother. Kala bechamosa, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Oive ish anshe beso. Literally, a person will contend with enemies within his own home. A total lack of shalom bayis. Pnei hadar ki pnei kelev. The face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. Habein eno mispayish ma'aviv. A son will no longer be embarrassed in front of his father. The alma yesh lanu lihishain. And upon whom will we be able to depend on in these tumultuous, turbulent times? Al avinu shebashamayim. On the Ribono Shel Olam. It's incredibly dramatic. Says the Gemara. Amarav, we'll say that's all the Mishnah. Amarav, lo shanu ela shamalach v'gafris. Remember again, the Mishnah, the first thing the Mishnah spoke about is that during the siege of Vespasian, they decreed that the Chassanim cannot wear the wreaths, literally crowns, cannot wear the wreaths when they got married. This was a sign of mourning over the siege around Yerushalayim. So Rava says, what are we talking about? That's only talking about wreaths that were made from melech and gafris, that were made from salt and from sulfur. So we'll say, apparently Rashi points out over here that certain types of salt and certain types of sulfur almost have a quartz-like appearance and therefore look especially elegant. Aval shel hadas v'shel vered mutar, but you could fashion the crowns out of myrtle branches or out of roses. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel said, no, af shel hadas v'shel vered aser. You couldn't even fashion the crowns out of myrtles or out of roses. Shel kanam v'shel chilas mutar, but if you were to go out and make it out of reeds. Reads literally, chelas is like sedges. So mutter, that is permitted. Levi Amar, af shel karnim v'shel chelas aser. Levi said, no, even to make it out of reeds or different types of plants, it's also aser. V'chin tani levi masnisa, af shel karnim v'shel chelas aser. So both say the dominant opinion seems to be that when they outlawed the use of these crowns for the chassanim during the siege of Vespasian, they outlawed all types of crowns. V'al ha'irus, they also outlawed the irus, ma'irus. Amar Rebbe Elazar, Tavla Dechat Puma, it refers to a bell with one clapper, which literally means a bell that only claps on one side. Rabba Barav Huna Avodle Libre Tanbura. So Rabba Barav Huna made for his son an instrument called a Tanbura. Asa Avuha, his father came along, Tavre, and broke it. Because again, out of a saying, you can't use this type of instrument. Armale Michlof B'Tavla, because this type of instrument could be confused with a Tavla, Dechad Puma, it could be confused with a Tavla with one clapper. Zil Avidle Apuma Dechatzba, if you need to make some kind of instrument, you could take a piece of skin and spread it over the mouth of an urn. O Apuma Dechafiza, or you could take a piece of skin and stretch it out over the mouth of the pitcher. In other words, that if you need to make an instrument, you can make some type of drum-like instrument, a makeshift drum. Bepomo shel Titus gazra ala taras kalos, in the siege of Titus, so they were gozer, they decreed against the kalos wearing any kind of wreaths. So maya taras kalos, we'll say, what does this refer to? Amar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ir shel zahav. This refers literally to a city of gold. If you look at Rashi says, Ir shel zahav, atara shel zahav, v'ir shel zahav mitziyeres ala. So the girls used to wear this tiara that had a golden image of Yerushalayim on top of it, right, etched into it. So during the siege of Titus, they were gozer that a kala should not wear this tiara. So Amar Rav, Arachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ir shel zahav, tanyina mihachi, ezu hi ataras shel zahav, ezu ataras kalos. We have a brisa that supports this as well. What's the definition of ataras kalos, of the bride's crowns? Ir shel zahav. This refers ultimately again to a tiara that resembles again a golden image of Yerushalayim. Aval osa osa kippa shel milas. But you can make her a kippa, literally a head covering made from fine wool. Tana, They were also gozer on the chuppah of chasanim, the canopy of chasanim. My chuppah chasanim, zohoris hamizuhebes. But if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says zohoris hamizuhebes, talis tzavua shani, ubo kavuan tase zav ad shema amidin also kimin kipa. So listen to this, Rabosai. So they used to have that the chuppah of a chasan was made from red string and gold string interlaced into it during the siege of Titus. They said one should not use a chuppah like that. Rather, Tanya Miyachi, Eloin chuppas chasanim zohoris hamizuhabes, aval osin papiris b'tolaba komashi yirtza. Instead, what could you use for the chuppah? You could use some type of lattice, and you can go ahead and put whatever you want on it. And I was supposed to say, so they used to use a much more elegant, fancy type of chuppah. During the siege of Titus, they said one should only use a plain chuppah. B'shelo yilmat es b'no yivanis. Rabbosai, this is actually amazing. Just the hashgacha pratis of this. A person should not teach his son Greek. Rabbosai, get ready. Tanar Abanan, kishetzaro malche beis chashmonai ze'azeh. Rabbosai, you understand this hashgacha pratis? Last day of Hanukkah, and we end the Masechta again with a story about the Hasmonean kings. Now, unfortunately, this is actually not a good chapter of the Hasmonean monarchy. This is talking about the major war, civil war between the two brothers. So when the two Hasmonean kings were laying siege to each other, Haya Horkinos Mibachutz, Horkinos was outside of Yerushalayim, the Aristobulus Mibifnim. And Aristobulus was inside Yerushalayim. So literally one brother was laying siege to the other. So Bechoyom Bayom Hayim Shal Shalin Dinarim Bekupa Umailin Lahem Tmidin. So Bosa, listen to this. Remember, this is a siege, Jews against Jews. Jews against Jews. So every day, the men inside Yerushalayim used to lower down a basket with silver coins. And what happened? The soldiers laying siege, who themselves were Jewish, used to put in a goat or a sheep to be used for the carbon tumid, for the daily offering. So what happened? Umalil lahentmid. And both say this, because again, remember, this is the amazing part. As much as they're trying to conquer Yerushalayim, at the end of the day, the Beis HaMikdash, we want the service to continue. Umalil lahentmid. Haya sham zakin echad. So there was one person, one man there, who was expert in Chachmas Yevanis. Rabbosai, now, interestingly enough, if you look at Rashi, Rashi is over here, Hayasham Zakin Echel Mibifnim. There was someone inside Yerushalayim, literally in the camp of Aristobulus, who apparently was a traitor. He was a traitor. See, he went ahead and he signaled in some type of Greek code. That's what it means. Chachmas Yevanis means Greek code. He went ahead and he signaled to them, B'chachma Yevanis Amr Lahem, Kozman She'oskin Ba'avoda, first wide line of Bosei, Eimlin Saran Biyadchem, and he sent a coded message, namely, to the army of Horkinus, that as long as Aristobulus is offering up the offerings in the Beis HaMikdash, Jerusalem will not fall. It's only if you cut off service in the Beis HaMikdash that Yerushalayim will fall. L'machar shilshu lahem dinarim. The next day, the people inside Yerushalayim, Aristobulus' men, sent down the basket with silver coins like they did every single day. V'he'elu lahem chazer. And I will say, what happens? Horkinus' men put in the basket a chazer. Kevin shigia lechatzi choma. When they were pulling the chazer up, it reached halfway up the wall. Naot tziparnov. The chazer dug its hoofs. I know the pig have hoofs. Okay, hoofs. Its hoofs into the wall. I mean, Rabbosai is amazing. The chazer itself wouldn't go into Yerushalayim. Nizdaza Eretz Yisrael arba meos parsa, and Eretz Yisrael shook for 400 parsons. So Rabbosai, the notion that this is what it came to, that now we were holding in a point where a chazer was about to be hoisted into Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, was something, again, that literally made the entire land shake. Ba'osa Shah, in that moment, Amru, Arur Adam Shigad L'Chazirim, they said, cursed is the person who goes ahead and raises pigs in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbosai, you should know, this is a halachon shulchan aruch, that you are not permitted to raise pigs in Eretz Yisrael. This is why, again, unfortunately, there are some pig farmers in Eretz Yisrael. It is, it's interesting, it's one of those issues where even among many of the non-religious, it's considered to be something that's offensive, because the pig, you know, a person doesn't want to keep kashrus, that's one thing. But the pig is the paradigm ultimately of everything that is unclean. So the Gemara says they were gozer in that moment, you can't raise pigs in Eretz Yisrael. Va'ar adam shielame libno chachmas yevanis. And curse is the man who teaches his son Greek wisdom. Va'al osa shana shaninu. And also regarding that year, meaning that year of the siege, we learned ma'ase uba omer migagos trifim ushte alechem mibikas ein socher. So we'll say that year, the Omer offering, which remember is the barley offering that is brought on the second day of Pesach, so that offering came from a place called Gagos Tzrifim. Now Gagos Tzrifim is a good distance from Yerushalayim, and the shte alechem, which are the two loaves that are brought on Shavuos, was brought from a place, the valley of Ein Socher, which is also far from Yerushalayim. Now we'll say normally we try to bring the Omer as well as the shte alechem from close by Yerushalayim. So Rashi points out that year they couldn't bring it from close by. Why? Because at the end of the day, the sieging armies had burnt all of the wheat fields all around Yerushalayim. Therefore, the only way for them to be able to get the barley, the only way for them to be able to bring the shtei alechem, ultimately was to bring it from far away. So, Ini, is that so that you can't teach your son Greek wisdom? V'hama Rebbe, but yeah, Rebbe said, Beretz Yisrael Lashon Sursi Lama. So, yeah, Rebbe said, why do they speak Lashon Sursi in Eretz Yisrael? Abbasi Rashi points out over here, Lashon Sursi is Karafula Lashon Arami. So some type of dialect of Aramaic. So why do they speak Sursi? Ella I Lashon HaKodesh, I Lashon Yevanis. Rebbe said people should either speak Hebrew or they should speak Greek. But Amar Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef said, Bebabel Lashon Arami Lamali. Why do they speak Aramaic in Babel? Ella O Lashon HaKodesh, O Lashon Parsi. So right, they should either speak Hebrew or they should speak Persian. But so what do you see from here? You see Rebbe seeming to advocate for speaking of Greek. So, you know what? I forgot to mention today. Apologize. The shir today is sponsored, is dedicated by Ben Sion Luchansky for the yahrzeit of his mother, Chava Bas Ben Sion. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah. Sorry. So the Gemara says, so you see from here that what? That you can go ahead and teach your child Greek. So the Gemara says, Lashon Yevanis Luchud V'chachmas Yevanis Luchud. So we'll say there are two different things. There's Greek language and there's Greek wisdom. You could teach your child Greek language, that's not a problem, but Greek wisdom, which again, the Gemara over here seems to understand is a reference to Greek codes of sorts. This type of coded dialect, that you can teach your child. The Chachmas Yevanis Miasira, but is this true that even again, the Greek codes, you can't go ahead and teach? What's the meaning of the pasuk? Eini olalo lenafshi mikol benos iri. What does this mean? Elaf yeladim hayu bebeis abba. So we'll say, listen to this. So Rav Shimon Gamliel said, there were 1,000 young men in my father's home. Chamesh mi'os lamdu Torah. V'chamesh mi'os lamdu chachmas yevanis. 500 of them were taught Torah, and 500 of them were taught Greek wisdom. V'lo nishtayir mehem ela ani kan. Uben achi abba ba'asya, and out of all of us, there are only two left, me here and my cousin, literally my father's brother's son in Asya. So what do you see from here? You see that in the house of Shimon Gamliel, they taught children Greek wisdom, to which the Gemara says, Shiny Shabbos Rabbi Gamliel, the Kroven L'Malchus Abba. Oh, we'll say the household of Rabbi Gamliel is different. Why? Because they were close to the monarchy. We'll say, as we're going to see, when you travel in the circles of the monarchy, there are certain things that you are allowed to do that common people are not. Tisanya, Misaper Kumi, we'll say Misaper Kumi was a certain type of haircut where they would shave the sides of the head, but they would let like a ponytail. They would let like a ponytail grow ahead, go ahead and grow out. Sahari Zemedarki Amori. So they're both saying you're not allowed to have this kind of haircut because it's emulation of the Gentile nations. Avtulus ben Ruvain hetirulus saper kumi shukar v'malchus. But I will say Avtulus ben Ruvain was permitted to have this kind of haircut. Why? because he was close to the king. Similarly, again, in the household of Rabbi Gamliel, they permitted the children to learn Greek wisdom, because ultimately, again, they are close to the king. Remember, in the final siege, so the rabbis legislated that the kala should not go out in a canopy, but yet, again, the later rabbi said that she could. Why did they reinstate the use of the canopy? Because ultimately, again, the canopy provided an additional measure of tznius, of modesty. So the Mishnah said, when Rabbi Yochanan died, so wisdom ceased. Tan Rabban Abba says, amazing Gemara. Mishemes Rabbi Eliezer Nigna Sefer Torah. When Rabbi Eliezer died, literally, the Torah was hidden away. Rashi says, Nigna Sefer Torah, Shayabal Halachos mi Pishmua, because again, he knew Halacha based on tradition, Usturos Befiv, and it was so well organized in his mouth that it was almost as if it was written down in the scroll. Mishemes Rabbi Yoshua, Batla Itza. When Rabbi Yoshua passed away, so Itza, proper counsel, umachshava, and well thought out ideas ceased with him. Look at Rashi, Eitzo machshava, shayezahir bidrashas, because he was very careful with how he darshened, ubaki bahalachas, and he was an expert in halacha, ubetshuvas haapikarsim. Nabosa, he knew how to answer up the apikarsim, ulahavin biremazehem kidarmina parakam de chagiga. So says the Gemara, let's go back to a little bit. So says the Gemara, it's Rashi, Mishamesh Rabbi Akiva, Batlo Zeroi Torah. This is a beautiful idea. When Rabbi Akiva died, so the Zeroi Torah, literally the arms that support Torah, ceased as well. Rabbi Akiva wasn't just a Talmud Chacham, but he was someone who supported the very Torah. V'nestatmu ma'ayonos ha'chachma, and the wellsprings of wisdom were plugged up. Mishemes Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, Batlu Ataras Chachma. When Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah died, the crown of wisdom ceased. Sha'ataras Chachamim Ashram, for it is the crown of the wise that is their great wealth. Mishemes Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Batlu Anshe Maisa. When Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa died, Sa Anshe Maisa, men of great deeds, ceased to exist. Mishemes Abba Yossi ben Katnusa, Batlu Chasidim. When Abba Yossi ben Katnusa passed away, so the Hasidim, he was the last of the pious men. V'lama nikra shmo Abba Yossi ben Katnusa. Presumably that was not his father's name, Katnusa. So why do they call him Katnusa, the little one? Shahaya miktani Hasidim. Because as great as he was among the smallest, quote-unquote, of the pious ones. Mishanis ben Azai, when ben Azai passed away, Batlu ha-shakdonin. The shakdonin are those who are diligent in constantly learning Torah. Mishemes ben Zoma, when ben Zoma passed away, Batlu ha-darshanin. Those who truly knew how to darshan psukim ceased as well. He was the last of the darshanin. Mishemes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Allah govai, v'rabu tzaras. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel died, there was an outbreak of locust, and our sufferings intensified. Mishemes Rabbi, Huchpulu Atzaras. When Rebbe died, the Tzaras became even more intensified. Abba said, let's just finish. Mishemes Rebbe Batla Anava Viraschit. So the Masechta ends in an incredible way. When Rebbe passed away, so Anava, humility, and Yiraschit both stopped. So humility and fear of sin stopped when Rebbe was the last person to possess true humility and fear of sin. Therefore, when he died, these attributes went with him to the grave. But this is a fascinating Gemara. Amrali Rav Yosef Latana. So Rav Yosef said to Latana, Lo tisni anava. No, don't say that humility died with Rebbe, because after all, the ika ana, there's still me. Right? I'm very humble. Right? I'm exceptionally humble. Well, so you'll see that's important in just a moment. Only Rav Nachman, Latana, Lotisni Yiraschet. Furthermore, again, don't say that Yiraschet went ahead and stopped. Why? Because the Ika Ana, they're still me. In other words, we'll say, first of all, this Yisod, it sounds strange to us that somebody is claiming that Lamaisa what? That he's humble. So we'll see, you have to understand something. Humility, we know this, humility does not mean that a person thinks that they're a nothing. Humility means, I know that I'm a significant something, but I also know that as great as I am, there's so much more I can do, there's so much more I can be. That's true humility. But I will say, why does the Masechta end this way? And it's an incredible yisod. Because when we read these Gemaras, so what happens? To be honest, these Gemaras are depressing. Why are they depressing? Because we have a Mishnah, from over 2,300 years ago that it tells us essentially that every great attribute stopped over 2,300 years ago. So what are we supposed to do with this, right? There's no more Yireschei, there's no more Anova. So what does the Gemara say? Rav Yosef comes along, Rav Nachman comes along and says, no, there are still great people. Maybe we're not as great as we were in the past. Maybe we don't measure up to the great tzaddikim of the past. But all is not lost. You read these Gemaras sometimes, you read this Mishnah, and it sounds like the sky is falling. Comes along Rav Yosef and says, I'm still humble, and there are still many other people who are humble as well. Comes along Rav Nachman and says, I have Yiras Chet, and there are many other people who have Yiras Chet as well. Maybe our Anava, and maybe our Yiras Chet does not measure up to the Anava and Yiras Chet of past generations. That's quite possible, and maybe even probable. But at the end of the day, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Am Yisrael ultimately has an endurance. And Am Yisrael has the ability to survive. And Am Yisrael has the ability to thrive. And Am Yisrael has the ability to regroup and always come back together despite the most difficult of circumstances. So these Rabbanim at the end of the Masech are not coming to toot their own horns. They're coming to give us, the learner, a sense of hope. That even though, again, perhaps our present circumstance does not mirror the greatness of past generations, but we still have so much to give. We still have so much to contribute. We still have so much we could accomplish as individuals, as a group, and ultimately as a nation. We'll say we'll stop over here. We'll save the official Hadron for the Siyum, but a Mazel Tov on completing Masechta Sota. And we'll say again, this was, to be honest, we know this Masechta doesn't feel the same level of accomplishment, because the truth is, this Masechta, every single daf was just pure joy. You know, in Nazir, in Nedarim, so the truth is, you get a lot more schar because not every single daf was a walk in the park. This, we had so much beautiful agarata, so much beautiful story, so many beautiful yisodos. But I will say, the fact that we did it together, the fact that we finished it together, we continue our journey through Shas, to be able to, you know, just you should know, there is nothing more important in life than that sefer you have in front of you. This, Kizohi Achayim, this is the entirety of our existence. This is the entirety of what we do every single morning, from 5:45 to 6:45. This is the essence of what it means to be a Jew. And Zachinu, on the last day of Hanukkah, when we celebrate the fact that our ancestors rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, they kindled the light. That's what we do every single day. There are so many forces and so many influences in greater society. Like we saw, we're living in Ikvasa de Mashiach. We are living in the days of Mashiach. There are so many other influences in our world that try to counteract our spirituality, that try to counteract our values. And we come here every single morning to reaffirm our allegiance to the Ribono Shel Olam, to reaffirm our allegiance to our Torah, and ultimately to reaffirm our allegiance to one another. We should be Zochem Yiratz Hashem to finish many more Masechtos. We should be Zochem Yiratz Hashem to swim, continue to swim, and not tread water, but mamish to swim through the Yam Shel Talmud, the Yam Shel Torah. We should be Zochem Yiratz Hashem to begin Maseches Gittin B'Sha'a Tova U'Matzlachos tomorrow, and Halavai, there's still time, the Siyum Maseches Sota, and all of our future Siyumim, Halavai, be in Yerushalayim HaBenuya with the Melech HaMashiach M'hira B'Yameinu. Amen.